man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play. Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation changes? When you work with Edward Jones, they focus on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And they'll partner with you to help your strategy stay on track. Visit EdwardJones.com or stop by the office of Todd Nash in Coralville, Jeff Rudolph, or Scott McGill in Iowa City, or Travis Whitmore in North Liberty. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
This is Hawkeye Recap with Brian Hurley, part of the Hawk Fanatic Network. On this podcast, we will relive past Iowa football and basketball games and players from the past 100 plus years. To find more games and players, visit HawkeyeRecap.com.
For this week's podcast, I'd like to focus on the women's basketball team. After they just completed their season, I'm recording this on Sunday the 7th, just after the championship game. Hawks lose, unfortunately, but what a great season it was. So a couple updates. First of all, I have loaded up every single women's basketball game to the website. So if you go to HawkeyeRecap.com, in the dropdown, you can see all the different games starting from the 1974 to 1975 season, all the way up through to this year. So definitely check that out. I think there's a lot of great history there. I just want to run through that and recap that for you, just to give you a little bit of history and help you remember some of the past. But there aren't a lot of details on the site yet, so I'm looking for some help. Basically, I'm looking for someone really passionate about the women's basketball team, looking to find newspaper articles about games and research player profiles and information about past players. So please reach out if you are interested in that. I've also loaded up all the WNBA draft pick players as a starting point, plus some random other players. So you can go to the site under players and look for women's basketball, and you'll see a couple dozen players there. Definitely check out some of those. And then let me know if you have a particular player in mind that you'd like me to feature. But again, if you have someone in mind that one of your favorite players, let me know and I can try to add them to the list. So let's go back to the history of the program. As I said, it started in 1974-75 season. Lark Birdsong was the coach. They ended up with a 5-16 record. Birdsong was the coach for five seasons from 74 through the end of 1979. So in the 75-76 season, they finished 9-18. 76-77, they finished 10-11. And I think they lost their last game of the year that kept them from having a winning record. 77-78 season, they finished 8-15. And then the 78-79 season was their first winning record. They finished 18-11. Now, a lot of the Big Ten schools didn't have programs. And over the years, they started to add up and build up the women's programs. Then in the 79-80 season, Judy McMullen took over, and she had a 15-14 record. Then in 1980-81 season, they finished 8-17, and also 8-17 in the 81-82 season. And then in the 82-83 season, they finished 7-20, so a couple series of poor seasons. And that's when the move was made to switch to C. Vivian Stringer.
Do you need a great electrical contractor or fire and water restoration specialist? Well, contact Lance Bolin at LB Electric and LJ Construction in North Liberty. Lance has served the corridor for many years and is ready to help you. Call Lance Bolin at 319-640-1116. That's 319-640-1116. Or visit LJ_construction on Instagram for licensed and insured electrical work, fire and water restoration, and remodeling.
Hi, this is A.J. Perez, managing partner at Deere Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Waukee and Iowa City. I'm so proud of our team at both locations. We are committed to one thing, giving our customers the absolute best when it comes to service and a car buying experience, the kind of experience that brings you back. What makes us different? We believe at Deere, we don't just sell cars, we help people buy them.
So she took over in the 1983-84 season. They also moved into Carver at the beginning of the 1983 calendar year. So it was with Judy McMullen, but C. Vivian Stringer was always the coach at Carver. She wasn't ever at the field house. Coach Stringer's first season finished 17-10. That was a great improvement. Second year, 84-85, she finished 20-8. Then in the 85-86 season, she finished 22-7. They got their first invitation to the NCAA tournament in school history. They came in as a number 5 seed, got a first round bye, and then lost in the second round to number 4 Tennessee. In 86-87, she finished 26-5. They received a number 3 seed and got all the way to the Elite Eight, where they lost to Louisiana Tech, the number 1 seed, 65-66. So it was a really successful breakthrough season. That led into the following year, 1987-88 season, where they finished 29-2 and won the Big Ten championship for the first time. That earned them a number 1 seed, where they got to the Elite Eight, but ended up losing to number 2 Long Beach State. However, the game was in Long Beach, which is strange because they did have a number 1 seed. So I can't remember the details of how that worked out, but that was unfortunate. So that ended their season. So that repeated their Elite Eight appearance from the year before. In the 1988-89 season, they went 27-5, so another successful year. In the NCAA tournament, they got a number 3 seed and got to the Sweet 16, but lost to number 2 Stanford. In the 1989-90 season, they were named Big Ten co-champions with a 23-6 record. They got a first round bye as a number 3 seed, but then lost to Vanderbilt. In the 1990-91 season, they finished 21-9 record. They had a number 6 seed in the NCAA tournament and lost in the second round to Washington. In the 1991-92 season, they finished 25-4 overall. That gave them a number 1 seed, but they did not win the Big Ten that year. They got a second round bye, but ended up losing to Southwest Missouri State 60-61 in overtime. So that was a pretty big upset. That takes us to the 1992-93 season, where the Hawks were named Big Ten co-champions. They finished the season 27-4. That gave them a number 2 seed, and they went through and pulled a big upset in the Elite Eight over number 1 Tennessee, 72-56, but lost in the Final Four to number 1 ranked Ohio State, 72-73 in overtime. And many of you probably remember that. So that was their first and last appearance in the Final Four until the last two seasons. In the 93-94 season, they finished 22-7. They got a number 3 seed, but lost in the second round to Alabama. In the 94-95 season, this was Stringer's first losing season. They finished 11-17, and they did not make it to the NCAA tournament for the first time since the 1985-86 season, which was the first time that Stringer had taken the Hawks to any NCAA tournament. At the end of the season, Stringer left for Rutgers, and Angie Lee took over, who was one of her assistants and a former Ohio player. She helped get the program back on track. They finished 27-4. They were outright Big Ten champions that year. They got a number 2 seed, and they got to the Sweet 16, where they lost to Vanderbilt. For the 1996-97 season, they finished 18-12, not a great record. However, they were Big Ten tournament champions. That gave them a number 9 seed in the tournament. They got to the second round, but lost to number 1 Connecticut. In the 97-98 season, still under Angie Lee, The Hawks were Big Ten champions, even with an 18-11 record. That gave them a number 4 seed in the tournament, but they lost in the second round to Kansas. In the 1998-99 season, under Angie Lee, they finished 11-16 and did not make the NCAA tournament. And in the 1999-2000 season, they finished 9-18, and that would be the last year for Angie Lee, as they did not make the NCAA tournament again. So at the end of that season, Iowa hired Lisa Bluter. For the 2000-2001 season, she got them back on track. They finished 21-10, and they won the Big Ten tournament. In the NCAA tournament, they got a number 4 seed, but they lost to number 5 Utah in the second round. For the 2001-2002 season, Hawks finished 18-11. They got a number 9 seed in the tournament and lost in the second round to UConn pretty badly, 48-86. In the 2002-2003 season, they finished 18-15 and did not make the NCAA tournament. So a good couple of first years for Lisa Bluter. In the 2003-2004 season, they finished 16-13, but they did make it to the tournament as a number 9 seed, and they lost in the first round to Virginia Tech. For 2004-2005, they finished 23-10, but they did not get invited to the NCAA tournament. For 2005-2006, they finished 17-12, but did make the tournament as a number 10 seed, but lost in the first round to BYU. In 2006-2007, they finished 14-16 and did not make the NCAA tournament. So you can see things are starting to go off the rails a little bit with Bluter, but she recovers. And in the 2007-2008 season, they finished 21-11 and were Big Ten co-champions. They got a number 9 seed in the NCAA tournament, but lost in the first round to Georgia. In the 2008-2009 season, they again finished 21-11, and they did get into the tournament as a number 8 seed, but lost to Georgia Tech. For 2009-2010, they finished 20-14. They got in as a number 8 seed and lost in the second round to number 1 Stanford. In the 2010-2011 season, still under Bluter, they finished 22-9. They got into the tournament as a number 6 seed and lost in the first round to number 11 Gonzaga. So that was an upset loss. For the 2011-2012 season, they finished 19-12. They were number 9 seed in the NCAA tournament and lost to number 8 California. So now we're seeing a reappearance to the NCAA tournament, but hitting that 8-9 seed and not getting past the first round or maybe into the second round. For the 2012-2013 season, they finished 21-13. They got into the tournament again as the number 9 seed. They got to the second round this time, but lost to number 1 Notre Dame. For the 2013-2014 season, they finished 27-9. They got a number 6 seed, got to the second round, and lost to Louisville. For the 2014-2015 season, they finished 26-8. They were a number 3 seed and got to the Sweet 16, where they end up losing to number 2 Baylor. So now they're starting to make a little bit of progress. Then we get to the 2015-2016 season. They go 19-14, but do not qualify for the tournament. Then 2016-2017, they go 20-14, but again, do not qualify for the tournament. Then we go to 2017-2018 season. They go 24-8. They get into the tournament as the number 6 seed. This is where they lose to number 11 seeded Creighton, 70-76. For the 2018-2019 season, they finish 29-7 and win the Big Ten tournament. They get into the NCAA tournament and they get to the Elite Eight, which they hadn't done for a long time, but end up losing to number 1 Baylor. Then in the 2019-2020 season, they go 23-7. But there was no NCAA tournament. Then the 2020-2021 season, they finished 20-10. They get into the tournament as a number 5 seed. They get to the Sweet 16, but lose to number 1 UConn. For the 21-22 season, they finished 24-8. They win the Big Ten tournament and were Big Ten co-champions that year. They got into the second round of the NCAA tournament as a number 2 seed, but were upset by number 10 Creighton. And many of you remember that game at home. In the 2022-2023 season, they finished 31-7. They were Big Ten tournament champions, and they got a number two seed in the NCAA tournament. And this is where they went through the gauntlet of beating number five seed Louisville in the Elite Eight, then defeating and pulling a major upset on number one and undefeated South Carolina in the Final Four, but then lost in the championship game to the number three team, LSU. And then this year, the 2023-2024 season. So let me add my expectations first, and then I'll recap the season real quick.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483, 400-4483.
Support for this podcast comes from Systems Unlimited, celebrating 50 years of providing services to people living with disabilities and mental health needs throughout East Central Iowa. A list of their services and upcoming events can be found at sui.org. That is sui.org.
Going into it, I thought they had a great opportunity to hit the portal and replace Monica Sozzano. And they didn't choose to do that. They said they couldn't find a fit. I thought that was going to really cost them because they didn't really have any other real experienced center, which they've had for the last couple of years. So I did have high expectations for the team, but they surpassed those. I think Caitlin Clark somehow got even better this year. At first, early in the season, they lost a couple games and it looked like they had some weaknesses, but they seemed to improve and fix some of those. And despite all the pressure and all the fans and the attention that this team got and the pressure they're under, it was just amazing what they accomplished. I did not expect, even with the number one seed, I did not think they would get to the Final Four. I thought they would at least need to get to the Sweet 16 for the season to be a success. I was hoping that they could win the Big Ten as it got closer, but Ohio State just played well and, you know, they couldn't hold that lead against them in Columbus. I thought maybe Elite Eight would be where they would end up, especially when they got the draw with LSU. I thought maybe those kind of teams would be difficult to beat, but they pulled that win. Then they go on and beat UConn, which is impressive. And I mentioned the times that they've lost to UConn. So that was just a great historic win and really kind of elevated the program again by saying we can compete with these top teams. We've beaten South Carolina last year, beating UConn this year, LSU this year. So they finished the year 34-5. They were the Big Ten tournament champions for the third straight year. And they got to the Final Four for the second straight year. So that's just amazing. And, you know, it's heartbreaking that they didn't quite finish it either year. I don't know if we'll ever see a national championship. I think women's basketball has the best opportunity of the major sports of football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. They've got the best chance of actually winning a national championship. So to be so close is so frustrating, but can't look back and not have just a wonderful experience that came out of these last two seasons. So now looking forward, obviously you lose Caitlin Clark. That's going to be a huge loss. But they got a couple things they can do to keep this momentum. And if they don't really capitalize in the next year or two, then you're going to lose that opportunity. And so it's a very critical point in the program. Are they going to become one of those elite programs that is continually in the Final Four and eventually get a chance at winning the title? Or are they going to fall back to where we've heard over the years is, you know, every decade they get a really good team, but for the most part they're winning, but they're not getting up in those top four seeds very often. So I think a couple things have to happen. They can get there if they can start recruiting and leverage the success they've had. I mean, the teams they were beating and playing against, even South Carolina, the talent level is very clear. There's a big difference. And they're getting five stars every year. And Iowa gets 1 5-star, maybe a 4-star, a couple 3-stars. And you just can't compete with those teams over and over again. Yeah, you can do a lot to outcoach the other team, but at some point you have to be able to get that talent to be able to compete with those teams. And so that's really critical. Whether they hit the transfer portal or not, I'm not sure. But these next couple of recruiting classes need to be pretty strong, and they need to get one or two five stars every year going forward, or they will not have the talent to keep up. So we'll see how that happens over the next couple of years. When you're going up against teams that have five stars and really tall players, you can't compete with them consistently like that. So hopefully that's what happens. Hopefully this is what takes the program to the next level. They can win. I think they can get back to the championship. It's going to look different in how they do it, but if you have a couple really strong players, they can do that. I think Lisa Bluder and their staff is amazing and wonderful coach. But this will be really critical to see how it happens and plays out over the next couple of years. So I'm excited to see the future. It's got a great history, as you heard. See Vivian Stringer put it on the map. She took it to another level, and let's see if Lisa can kind of keep it there. But you could see that it wasn't always a smooth transition to this point. There are some not-so-great seasons in there. And you could see that maybe she was in jeopardy of losing her job at one point. Good on Iowa to kind of stick with her and give her the opportunity to right the ship, and she has. I think she's got at least a few more years left to kind of set the program up for success, and we'll see how that goes. So this part of the podcast went a little longer than I thought. I'm going to cover Caitlin Clark's profile next time, which will take up quite a bit of time. So after that, we'll probably have a lull, and I probably will not be posting every week, maybe every other week or at least once a month. And then once we start getting into the fall season, I'll start posting weekly again. If you have topics or games or opponents or players you'd like to learn about, please contact me. You can reach me through the website, HawkeyeRecap.com. You can also find me on Twitter and on Facebook. If you know other Hawkeye fans that might like hearing this podcast, if you could please let them know about it, I really appreciate it. Thanks, and go Hawks!